for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his great love to us. We thank you for the Word of God that shows us what we are like on the inside and shows us how to not only have forever life when we die, but how to have victory now in this present day, in the nasty now, in the rough and tumble of life. We just thank you that we don't have to be defeated, but that we can know victory even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul in this book of Romans, so far as we have gone through it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, we have seen that a man is justified before God by faith, and that the way we come to the realization that we need justification is by the law. God gave us the law to show us that we are sinful and that we need a Savior. This is found in Romans, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. He says, the law gives us a knowledge of our sin, and the law is given that we might stop our mouths and that we would know that we were guilty before God. Now, this is the purpose of the law in salvation. It's first to stop our mouths and to make us know that we're guilty and to give us a knowledge of our sin. Now, if we had time, we could turn to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and see there that the law was to bring us to Christ, was a schoolmaster, or we would say today a school bus to bring us to Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, that's the purpose of the law for the unsaved man, is to show him he's a sinner and he needs a Savior. But now, after we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we're no longer under the school bus or the schoolmaster or the law. But the law still has a purpose in our life as Christians. And that's what Romans 7 is talking about. Now, after we are saved not to sit, as someone has said, but to serve. We are saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in the 6th verse of this 3rd chapter, of this 7th chapter. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead in which we were held, we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the law. Now, we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the newness of the Spirit. Now, this is the second time in the book of Romans that the word Spirit, or it's talked about the Holy Spirit. Remember in the 5th chapter, the 5th verse, he told us there that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we've been born again, if we've trusted his death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for our sins. We have the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 5:5. And Romans here, 7:6 says that we are to serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, the letter there is a reference to the law. In the Christian life, the law is not our guide. The Sermon on the Mount is not our guide. Well, then what is our guide? What rule do we go by? Are we antinomian? Do we just do anything we want to do, anytime we want to do, like we want to do it? Well, most Christians do. Doesn't make it right. There's an answer. There's an answer for the Christian life, and it's found in the Word of God. Now, let's look at the 7th verse. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now, we're not to serve in the oldness of the letter, but we're to serve in the newness of the Spirit. Is the law sin? Is the law wrong? There are a lot of people today who tell us, yes, the law is wrong. We shouldn't be under the law. We don't. The law is just something that is in an old book back there somewhere, and if you listen to it, it'll make you miserable. They want to do completely away with the Bible and the Word of God. They say, don't listen to that stuff. Don't read the Bible. Leave it alone. It's not good for you. It'll condemn you. It'll just make you miserable. But what they don't realize, if they don't read the Bible and they don't know the Bible and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be miserable anyway. You see, they're still miserable. They have tried to kick the Bible out of their mind. They try to say that Jesus Christ is not God's Son. They try to say that salvation is not by faith in Him. That just as long as we do the best that we can, and we sort of help along the way, everything's going to work out all right. and we'll make a better place for people to live in. We've been trying that for 6,000 years, and it hadn't worked yet. But our generation is different. We're going to make it work. Yeah? Well, when our kids get here, and we're dead and gone, they'll say, Mom, Dad didn't make it work either. Now, there is a way for it to work. There is a way for it. Is the law of it? God forbid. God forbid. The law is good. The law has a purpose. The law is right. God forbid. Nay, Paul says, I had not known. And this word known means known by method of study. I had not known sin, but by the law. Now, sin here is in the singular, which means the old sin nature, a bent to do wrong that's inside. Now, Paul said, I would have not known that I had a bent to do wrong on the inside if the law had not told me I had it there. Now, even after we are saved, we still have a bent to do wrong. We still want to sin in our life. We still have cravings and desires to do wrong. You know, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, doesn't it? People say, that's awful. Somebody knocks out your tooth, you going to knock out his tooth? Well, I'll tell you about me, and I imagine Mr. Crane the same way. And you are too, if you're honest about it. When somebody knocks out my tooth, I don't want to knock his tooth out. You know what I want to do, Paul? I want to take the whole head off. But the Bible says, no, a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. See? That's right. But if we don't have the Bible, see, we don't have anything. If you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe anything. This is where we get all of our laws and where we get all of our justice from. Is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. Now, he said, I had not known I had an old sin nature inside of me, but that the law told me so. For I had not known covetousness. Now, you see, covetousness is on the inside. You can't see that I covet. You don't know whether I covet or not. Now, you may have an idea, but you don't know whether I covet or not because that's all on the inside. And Paul says, I didn't even know that I was coveting him until the law told me so. And when the law says, thou shalt not covet, I realize, goodness, I do this. I'm always coveting the other things. He says, but I had not known it except by the law. And the law says, thou shalt not covet. This is the 10th commandment. The 8th verse, but sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of covetousness. Now, this word wrought here means to that which is on the inside and it works out. He says, by the law, the sin taken by occasion by the commandment, when the commandment came, it worked out of me all manner of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin is dead. That is, it's dead to me. I don't know it's there. For I was alive apart from the law once. He says, he takes the law apart. Now, I'm alive. I think that I'm alive. I think that there's nothing wrong between me and God. And Paul was a very religious man, you see. He went around and he studied the Bible, the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee. And he helped the old people. Of course, he murdered Christians, but that's all right. And I'm sure when he saw some of those Christians as he was murdering them, he was throwing them. And old Stephen had that smile on his face, knowing that right then that last stone hit his head and knocked him out and killed him, he'd be in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could smile while he was being persecuted. And he had an inner peace and an inner joy, and Paul didn't have that, and he knew it. But the law comes along and it re-emphasizes this. See, it re-emphasizes this on the inside. And he says, I recognize that I was dead. He says, the commandment that was ordained to life, the commandment I thought was that it was going to give me life, I found out it gave me death. I found out it separated me from God. And even after, now see, Paul is writing this, and he is saved. He's giving his testimony here.
He said, even after I was saved, I still did these things, and I wouldn't have known it except for the law. The 11th verse, for sin taken occasion by the commandments deceived me. You see, the old sin nature will fool you into thinking that you can please God in your own self. Did you know that? After I trusted Jesus Christ my Savior, I thought I could please God. And I did my best for a long time to please God. I tried hard at it. I gave it everything I had. And I kept on displeasing God. Every day I would see things in my life that displeased God, and I knew they were there. The law kept on saying, what's wrong? Kept on slapping my hand. Don't do that. Snap you wrong. And I try a little bit harder. You know, Paul's a strong man. Did you know that there are a bunch of cars out here and Paul can pick up any one of those cars? Did you know that? Any car out there, he can pick it up a piece at a time. One piece, if you take it apart, disassemble it, he can pick up the steering wheel, he can pick up the tire, he can pick up the fenders, he can pick up the spare tire, he can pick up the seat. He can pick up any one particular part of a piece at a time, but when he picks up one, to go to pick up another, he's got to put it down and pick the other one up. Now, that's the same way it is with the law. Now, I can quit a few things. You see, I can quit maybe my smoking. I did. I quit in the sixth grade. There's a lot of things that I can quit. But it's just like that little old cartoon that I saw one time. It had a guy sitting in Whitfield, you know, he was cutting out a paper doll. He says, I cut out smoking, I cut out drinking, I cut out women, now I'm cutting out paper doll. And that's the way it is if you try to live the Christian life on your own. You got to cut out this and you cut out that and you cut out the other. The first thing you know, you're going to be cutting out paper doll. They're going to have you down at Whitfield. See, now you've got to recognize this in your life. Now, in the power of the Holy Spirit has no problem picking up that car out there. So he had no power. He's all powerful. He can pick up the whole thing at one time. Paul can pick it up one piece at a time. But when he picks up one and then he goes to pick up another, he's got to put the other one down. He can't pick it all up. There's no way. I don't care how strong he is. He can't do it. It's too heavy. The Christian life is too heavy for you to live. You cannot do it. And that's what the law is to show us, that we can't do it. You see, just like the law comes along and shows you you cannot save yourself, that you're completely hopeless and helpless as far as getting to heaven is concerned, and there's not a thing you can do whatsoever, not one single thing. And as long as you're trying to do one thing to get to heaven, you'll never make it. That's the reason why Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him, all sin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus Christ provides salvation in total. We have but to receive what he's done. See? We have but to believe that he died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day. We have to but trust his death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for our sins. We have everlasting life. He saves us completely, absolutely, unconditionally. We do nothing about that. The same way it is with Christian life. You can do it. You can do it. And that's what the law is all about. But the old sin nature, taking by the commandment, it deceived me, and by it slew me, killed me, knocked me down. Question. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy and just and good. You see, the commandments are holy, they're just, and they're good. Holy. They're set apart unto God for his purpose, for his service. They're just. They're absolute right. They're never wrong. They're always fair. They're good. That's good of intrinsic value. It has its real purpose. It has a real job to do. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Was this good thing made death? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me. Now, this word working is exactly the same word as wrought in verse 8. It means that which is on the inside and is working out. Sin, that it might appear sin, working out death in me by that which is good,
that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. He says that I might realize how exceedingly sinful I am and how exceedingly weak I am. And you know, most Christians get to this place, or a lot of Christians get to this place, and what do? They give up and quit. I've tried to live the Christian life. I can't do it. I've tried, and I've backed off, and I've regrouped, and I've hit it a hard lick again, and then I fail again, I flop again, I just fall flat on my face. Bloop! You know. Bang! And you shake yourself, you know, and you're about half numb, and you try to get up, and you say, well, now I got to keep going. If I don't, no happiness, or I can't be saved. No. Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever had that dilemma? I tried, and just came out. And boy, we have all kind of dropouts. We talk about dropouts in school. There's no dropout in school, and not near as many dropouts in school as there are in Christianity. They drop out like flies. They get saved, trust Christ as Savior. They really go big guns for about a month, 2 months, sometimes even a year. And then first thing you know, you can't find, you don't know, you can't see anywhere. Why? They never got through Romans 7. They never understood what Romans 7 is all about, that there's still a conflict going on the inside. You see, it's still there. The 14th verse. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now, the law is a spiritual thing. But he says, I am sold unto sin. Even though the law is spiritual and it has its rightful job, I am still under sin. I'm still under the power of this old sin that is pulling to do wrong. There's a conflict there. There's a warfare. He talks about this in the 23rd verse of this 7th chapter. He says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, there's this warfare, this conflict. And just because you're saved doesn't eradicate it, doesn't rub it out, it doesn't stop it. But there is victory. Just like Paul says, there's victory now. There's not only victory in the future, we'll have eternal life, we'll go to heaven when we die, but you can have victory right now. Right this minute, right today. But it's not going to come on your power. It's not going to come on your ability. It's not going to come by anything that you can do. But you're going to have to do what? Turn to the Holy Spirit. The victory comes the same way you're saved. By faith. All right, look at the 15th verse. For that which I do, I understand not. Now, this word do is exactly the same word as in the 13th verse as working. And the 8th verse is wrought. It's that which is on the inside that works out. He says, that which works out of me, I understand not. That which keeps on coming out of me, I don't understand. This sin that keeps on coming out of my life, it's on the inside and it keeps coming. I don't understand it, Paul says. I'm in a dilemma. He says, for what I would or what I desire, that do I not. Now, he translates it, do here, and the first do here is works out of me. The second one, it means to practice. And why can we have three words here in this 15th verse that's translated do, and they're all three different? And in your margin of your Bible, you ought to jot these three things down. Put down number one, that which is on the inside and works out. Number two, that which I practice. And number three is that which I do. And we'll tell you which is which, because all this word is used all through this passage of Scripture here, and you need to know which one it is. The word to do, the number three, also means to make a path, or to produce, or to do. Number two is to practice. I practice this thing. I keep on doing this thing. Number one is that which is on the inside and works out. Now, let's unscramble it again. The 15th verse. For that which I do, that which is on the inside and works out, I don't understand. Oh, I understand not. I don't understand what keeps coming out of my life. But what I would or I desire, that practice I not. I don't practice what I desire to do. I have a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a desire to glorify Christ. I have a desire to serve Him. But I don't do it. But what I hate, Now, there are things in my life that I hate now that I'm saved. He says, but that's what I do. That's what I make a path doing. And Paul says, I'm doing this. Now, Paul's been saved for quite a while now. The 16th verse, if then, and it's true, I do, and that's number 3, I do that which I would not, or I desire not, I consider unto the law that it is good, which means it's beautiful. It's good on the outside. It's good of intrinsic value. Or good on the outside. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Now then, it is no more I that works out of me, but sin that dwells inside. You see, it's this old sin nature that's dwelling in me that keeps on working out. The 18th verse, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Inside of my flesh, in that flesh that does not dwell one single solitary thing, even human good is no good, in other words. I try to do some human good. I try to help people out. No good. No good. Everything inside, no good. That in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but to will is present with me. I have a desire. I have a will of the present. But how to form it? Perform. Now, the word perform means that which is on the inside and work out. This is number 1. But how to perform it, or how to work it out, that which is good, I find not. He says, I don't know how to do the good. Just like his people who don't know how to be saved. They try this thing. They try to be baptized. You know, that didn't work. I tried. My wife tried to be baptized twice. Still didn't work. They walk down the aisle. They join the church and think, well, maybe this will make it. They do all kinds of things. They turn over a new leaf and try to live a good life, you know, and that doesn't matter. They still know they're not saved. They still know they're not going to heaven. And in the Christian life, I try, but I can't do it. Have you ever been there? I was there for 5 or 6 long years, or maybe longer than that. I tried, and I was so confused. I was so mixed up. I was so disturbed. Didn't know how to do it. The 19th verse, but the good which I would or desire, I do not. And that word do is number 3. I do not. But the evil, you see, the old sin is evil which I would not, that I, number 2, I practice. The evil that I would not do, I practice it. Have you ever been here? If you're a Christian, you've been here. But the wonderful thing is you don't have to stay here. You don't have to stay in Romans 7. Because there is Romans 8. There's a such thing as Romans 8. By the way, that's next Sunday. We're going to get that Easter crowd with this. The resurrected life. Resurrection. Resurrection. 20th verse. But if I do, number 3, that I desire or would not, it is no more I that do it, and that word do is on the inside working out, number 1, but that sin that's dwelling in me, that sin that keeps on working out, I find a law then. That when I would do, number 3, I would do good, evil is present. Anytime I want to do good, anytime I want to make a path to good, evil is always there. This old sin nature is always there to knock me back down. He says, I delight in the law of God, ask the inward man. My new nature, that which is born again, I delight in God's law. I want to do God's law. I want to serve the Lord. I want to glorify Him. I've been born again. I'm a child of the King. I'm God's son. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell, but I'm going to heaven. And there is a place such as hell that people are going there, but I'm so thankful I'm not going there. And it's not by anything I've done. It's what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. He paid for it in total, in full. I have but to receive the payment that He made. I delight after the law, after the inward man, but I see another law of a different kind in my members. Warring, conflicting, fighting. And this is an open conflict. And this is a greater conflict than the Super Bowl or Vietnam
or World War II, or any war it could be. This is the greatest conflict in all the universe. The conflict inside of a Christian. It's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. This warfare is bringing me into this captivity. And then he says in the 24th verse, O wretched man that I am. Is he wretched? Is he miserable? Have you ever been there? I have. You know, this word wretched here is a word that reminds me of my younger days when I was a kid, just a kid. All my brothers went off to war. And I was a pretty good-sized boy, but I still wasn't quite as big as they were. But I've got one part of my body that's quite large. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I wear a size 13 shoe. And that's large. Well, they've always been large. And I always, they gave me all their shoes. This is the only thing that they had that would halfway fit, or I thought it would fit. And so I had about 8 or 9 pair of shoes there. And so they left them all to me, and I was about out of shoes. And so I had all these nice, some of them brand new shoes. And I went in there and I tried them on. And they were all too small except one pair I thought would do. And so Sunday morning, I was getting ready for Sunday school, and I slipped them on, and I took off for Sunday school. And I got about halfway through Sunday school, and my feet began to hurt. And by the time it was over with, I thought I was going to die. Well, I had to stay for church, and about the middle of church, I was about ready to climb the wall. I'll tell you. In fact, my feet still hurt from that thing. And time I got out of church, I couldn't get to the car quick enough to get those shoes off. I was hurting from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I was hurting all over. The tip of my fingers were hurting. I was in about as much misery as any little fellow you ever saw in your life. That's worse than wearing a tie. And a tie is bad enough. Well, that's what this picture here is, this man, old wretched man that I am. He says, I'm just like a guy that's got on shoes that's too tight. I'm hurting all over. And this is Paul. The law was making him hurt all over. Why? Okay, he wanted to give him dignity. Old wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me from this? I've got an old sin nature inside. There's this warfare. There's this conflict. And there's this fighting going on. How am I going to win? Through Jesus Christ. There's victory in Christ. Notice. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God. The flesh, the law of sin. It's different. But just like you're saved through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, He did it all. That's the reason why He was on the cross. He said, it is finished. What's finished? Your salvation. Paid for in total. Completely. Absolutely. Unconditionally. All you have to do is receive the payment that He made. All you have to do is believe that He did that for you personally. Believing is taking God at His word. You're confident in what He says He'll do. The same way you live the Christian life. You have confidence that God can give you the victory. And that's Romans 8. That's Romans 8. I wish we had time this morning to go into it. And I'm sorry that some of you are not going to get to be here next Sunday. But we must go on. Victory is in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer.